McDonald's recently got a lot of news coverage when it announced plans to roll out a new, healthier Happy Meal. It would have fewer fries, apple sticks in every meal, cutting calories by about 20%. Also out, the caramel dip that comes with the apples. Right now, they add about 70 calories and 9 grams of sugar. But why did McDonald's offer the caramel in the first place? Maybe for the same reason the chain redesigned its shake, adding huge dollops of whipped cream with a cherry on top. Whipped cream also comes with drinks at Starbucks, no extra cost, but an additional 120 calories and 11 grams of fat. These extras, caramel sauce, whipped cream, cheese sauce on French fries, people are saying, do you want cheese sauce instead of ketchup? This doesn't generally cost money for the consumer, but they do cost the restaurant. So why are they offering them? Former FDA Commissioner David Kessler has studied this question. He discussed some of these issues previously on our program when we interviewed him about his book, The End of Overeating. We can link to it for you at hereandnow.org. But he joins us now from KQED in San Francisco to talk about the extras. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And David, a lot of people are out driving on the roads, you know, maybe having to stop at fast food restaurants, maybe noticing this. One of our colleagues did. He fumed over this extra caramel sauce that he got at McDonald's and Burger King because he wanted to get it out of the bag before his kids saw it, you know. So, again, if these extras come at greater cost to the restaurant, why are they adding them?
And look at what they're adding them to. McDonald's adds the apple slices. That's great. That's terrific. But they also have this caramel dip. Now, they're going to get rid of it, they say, in the fall. But let me just read you the ingredients in the caramel dip. Corn syrup. What's that? That's made from the maize, the corn, but it has various amounts of glucose and maltose. Those are sugars. Then it has sweetened condensed milk. What's that? That's milk and sugar. Then the next ingredient is high fructose corn syrup. That's just sweeteners. Then it has water. Then it has butter, which is cream and salt. And then the last ingredient, I mean, is sugar. So it has sweetener, sweetener, fat, salt, sweeteners. The fact is that the American diet is the sweetest diet in the world. And it's the sweetening of the diet that drives eating. If I say to you, you know, what's the major driver of wanting in the vanilla milkshake? Which do you think it is?
Well, for me, it's the cold, but I'm betting it's the sweetening.
The sweetener is the main driver. But you're right. It's synergistic. If I just gave you a package of sugar and say, go have a good time, you're going to say, what are you talking about? But now add to that sweetener, add fat, add texture, add temperature, and then you see you have a multi-sensory stimulus. But at the core of wanting is that drive for sweetness.
You know, you mentioned the wanting. We spoke with McDonald's, and they said that they're going to be taking away this caramel dip that the apple sticks would be dipped in because they told us it originally tested well. I mean, they were flat out. They originally tested well. Kids liked it. But the take rate has lowered. In other words, when people like our colleague Kevin, you know, is throwing it away, he's not taking it. So people are not taking it. So they said, oh, it's not working anymore. It's not because they had some sense that they wanted to remove the 70 calories and the, I think, 11 grams of fat from the Happy Meal. They realized nobody was taking it. They may come up with something else.
Well, there's no doubt. Just look around you. The business plan of the modern global food company has been to take fat, sugar, and salt and put it on every corner and make it available throughout the day and make it socially acceptable to eat any time. I mean, look at the American diet. I mean, look at any of our, you know, our ethnic foods, Chinese food. I mean, walk into any Chinese restaurant and ask them to compare what they're serving in America versus what they would serve in their native country. And they will tell you that they have to prepare the Chinese food to be much sweeter than the way they would in China. Mm-hmm. We've adapted our palate to have the sweetest diet in the world. And that sweetener, that desire for sweetness is hardwired into our brains. We have receptors in our mouth. It's linked to the reward systems in our brains. And our brains are literally being activated by all these stimuli in our environment that are on every corner.
So the thinking was literally you might come to get the Happy Meal just to get the caramel. You might get a milkshake because of the new redesign with the whipped cream. McDonald's says this is supposed to set off this cue from people. What does this mean, this cue?
What's a cue? A cue can be the sight. It could be the smell. It could be the time of day. I mean, every time I drive on 101, on Highway 101, there's an In-N-Out burger place. And just getting in the car and driving on 101, my brain starts thinking, even before I see the restaurant, it serves as a cue. Just getting in your car can be a cue and just stimulate this arousal, this thoughts of wanting. So a cue is anything that could link with that food.
In talking about this, you remind me, for years, when I would fly into Logan Airport here in Boston, the first thing I think of is that the Dunkin' Donuts here has frosting stuffed donuts, which they don't have in other locations.
So the plane, when you land on the runway, that's the cue, and you have this thought coming into your head. I mean, think the next time you're hungry, try to figure out what the cue was. It could be the time of day. It could be a sight. It could be a smell. It could be a location.
David Kessler, the former FDA commissioner and author of The End of Overeating, and he's been telling us about cues, these things that just encourage us to eat. And David, we mentioned McDonald's. We called them up, and they told us they are adding whipped cream to their milkshakes as a cue. They use that word. They said the image of the new shake with the whipped cream is a cue to get people to buy them, and they said sales are up, so it appears to be working.
But understand that the whipped cream, the actual taste, the consumption isn't the cue. The cue is something that triggers the anticipation, the thought. I'm just talking to you about the whipped cream right now. Imagine how it tastes, what it looks like, how it feels in your mouth. You're not even eating it right now. My just talking about it is the cue. The power of food comes not just from the taste, but it comes from the anticipation. And something cues you. So your listeners now are all thinking about whipped cream because we've cued them.
Is whipped cream the new fries? It used to be you want fries with that. Now the fries come with that and we're being offered whipped cream.
When you go up to the counter and somebody says, do you want fries with that? I mean, you're not eating the fries. That's just the cue that gets you aroused. It stimulates your brain. It causes this increased focus. You haven't even been thinking about the fries. There's this arousal. Your brain gets activated. You have these thoughts of wanting. And then, you know, you just go, okay, I'll have those fries. You aren't even thinking about it. You pass a store. You smell that Cinnabon. Something stimulates. Something activates your brain circuits. So you have a cue arousal. And then you have the sweetener. And that reinforces the cue. That reinforces the learning. It strengthens the neural circuits. And you do it again and again. And we're laying down these circuits, not just in us, but we're laying down these circuits in our kids. Once you lay down these circuits, they get laid down for a lifetime.
And so, you know, obviously we're talking about businesses that have found a way to sell their product. It's a free country. What should consumers do? I mean, we're hearing you say that you go into restaurants and you're preemptive. You say no.
First, you have to understand how it works. You have to understand that for many of us, our brains are being, in essence, you know, hijacked constantly. People say, eat only when you're hungry. Well, I'm hungry all the time. But the reason I'm hungry all the time is that I'm living in an environment where my brain is being cued. It's being activated. And the reason those cues are so powerful is that they're linked to these multisensory ingredients of this fat and sugar. So you have to understand that your brain is being activated constantly, even if you don't want to.
I'm thinking of the new billboards for Coca-Cola. Something like, Coca-Cola, make it the first drink of the day. And you were talking about, you know, how we have sweeteners 24 hours a day now. It's not just a dessert anymore.
Look at what the business plan of the modern global food company has been. It's been to take sugar, fat, and salt, make it socially acceptable to eat anytime. We're living in a food carnival. We always used to have sugar desserts, but we would have it at certain times. Today, we're eating desserts all the time. The key is that our brains are being activated by those cues that are linked to the actual consumption of that food.
So what do you do? What do you, when you walk into a restaurant, what do you say no to, just to start?
I mean, I go into many of these places. When that waiter comes over and says, do you want bread? I mean, that's a cue. And if you let yourself go down, certainly, and I will admit, I mean, it happens to me. If I go down that road, I'm going to end up eating that bread. Right? So it's just easier for me in the beginning to just not have that cue at the table. Just, you know, please don't do this to me. It's like bringing, you know, snacks into the workplace. We all have done it. We've all bring food in for our colleagues. I mean, little did we realize, I mean, that in essence, we're committing some hostile act by doing that because we're triggering everyone's brains. We always thought we were doing nice things, but we're just, those cues activate the brain circuits that stimulate the wanting. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, we've become the fattest nation on the planet. Why did we need to take apples and add a dipping sauce? What was behind that?
The idea that very few kids today will eat fruit without something extra.
In essence, what we've done is to make good food, I mean, the apples, in fact, super stimulants. So you look at that caramel dip and you see that that dip is just combinations of sugar. And we've had to jack up the stimulating quality of our food so that that food is, in essence, hyper-arousing us. It becomes hyper-palatable. It doesn't have to be that way. I mean, that apple can be very stimulating, but when you've laid down these circuits where you're only responding to these super stimulants, a good old apple is not going to do it for you. I was talking to somebody and I had a, you know, I mean, for me, that chocolate chip cookie, you know, sitting there is going to activate my brain. He looked at that chocolate chip cookie and says, why would you want that chocolate chip cookie? And I said, you know, what is it for you? And he said, if you had great fish, that, and I said, where were you from? And he said, I'm from Portugal. And that explains it. Stimuli affect our learning, memory, habit, and motivational circuits. So what I grew up with as a kid, what I learned to want, what the social norm was, has a great effect on how my brain reacts.
That's David Kessler, former FDA commissioner, author of the best-selling book, The End of Overeating, Taking Control of the Insatiable American Appetite. Part of it is paying attention to cues. David, thanks so much.
Thank you.